You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night, on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, welcome to Fight Night, the first hour of Wednesday Warfare, right here on 104.9 The Horn. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And with me, as always, the best hair in radio, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I appreciate that, the best hair in radio. Well, Eddie, you can find me at Nonstop MMA. But guys, if you're out there, if you're listening, if you're driving your cars, don't text and drive. When you get home, send us a tweet, FightNightATX. You can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, Snapchat, you know, all of the above.
That's right.
So it's great to be here, though.
Now, Jordan, this happened, I guess, not long after our show Wednesday. But, yeah, we come into the show with a bit of a heavy heart. Our former coworker, Sean Adams, who I worked with here at The Horn, and then again across town where he was last heard, passed away suddenly of a heart attack. And we just want to give condolences to his family, his friends, our buddy Chip Brown, his longtime partner. Those two had chemistry that you cannot believe, that most people could only hope for. So yeah. Losing him suddenly is a devastating thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've met Sean only a few times, and it was always a class act. And you know, he will be missed, obviously, in Austin Radio. That's big shoes to fill, and obviously our hearts go out to his family. But how about USC giving kind of the respect, having a spot for him in the press box?
Well, that was nice.
At the game, a moment of silence in the press box. Obviously a lot of love going out to Sean. So
yeah, and hit the button. This was Sean's favorite thing about me.
Eddie Cross.
He was just amazed that I had my own sound.
Yeah, there you go. Someone is singing about you.
Yeah. One day I Googled my name, and up came this punk song by a Boston band called The Shods.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, that's mine. I'm gonna use that forever.
Did you ever reach out to them?
I didn't, but I did buy the CD.
Okay.
So I didn't just like rip it or something.
There we go.
I bought it. Hit it again.
Okay. Last time.
This one's for you, Sean.
All right. Here you go.
Eddie Cross.
All right. So Texas USC, that did happen too.
Oh man. Talk about a roller coaster ride.
Like a sucker punch loss. Bill Simmons talks about those, like, you know, stomach punches.
Uh-huh.
That was a stomach punch loss right there.
I mean, the first half was like, it was like the Keystone Cops. No one could get out of their own way.
Defense looked very good.
It did, but the offense looked bad. But then Coach Shurmur decides not to kick field goals. Coach Helton for USC decides not to kick field goals. So I'm just like, what are we doing here? This isn't a video game. The fumbles, the interceptions, the missed field goals, the end of the first half. That one was a heartbreaker. And then the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know, Texas scores with 45 seconds to go.
I know.
Seth Mellinger thinks he's done, like, something that'll have him in long-run lore for the rest of his life. And then the defense gives up, you know, another...
that drive.
Another drive, yeah.
Well, Eddie, if it's any consolation...
Don't get me started on overtime.
Oh. BYU lost as well to Wisconsin. We didn't look good. Tanner Mangum, you know, our 35-year-old quarterback.
Oh, another one, yeah.
Yeah, he did not. That's Taysom Hill, our old quarterback. No, he didn't play. But on Saturday night, there were some fights.
Oh, yeah.
So usually, I mean, you know, MMA typically gets top billing here.
Yeah.
But Triple G Canelo, Eddie, it was a good fight. Now, a terrible finish.
I didn't get to see it because I was on this UT roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
So tell me about it. I heard all about it.
All right, Eddie. So despite a terrible finish, right? And as far as a terrible finish, a terrible decision.
Right. To a good fight.
Triple G versus Canelo was a very entertaining, exciting fight. It definitely delivered in the ring. You know, we expected last week, I told you, that Triple G would kind of bring that pressure, that he'd be leading with that jab. Canelo would come back and counter with that accurate, you know, critical counterpunching that he does. And that's kind of what happened. He was able to get those strikes to the body. You know, Triple G out-jabbed Canelo. I believe it was 108-55.
Wow.
So that's what he just led with the jab. The great thing about Triple G in this whole fight was that he had his composure. We've seen him try to attack and go after people. He definitely went after people, but he was patient in going after Canelo the whole fight. So both fighters looked very good, but Canelo obviously looked like the bigger fighter. I don't know if you saw pictures.
Canelo
is just big. Like, he's a big dude.
It's a big ball of cinnamon.
He is a big ball of cinnamon. But interesting, you know, so the first fight starts out, Canelo is able to, you know, he's able to land some good shots. And really, he takes all rounds one and two on both, on all the scorecards.
Okay.
And I don't have really any issues with him. He landed some strong counter shots. He also landed some other, you know, just some other good clean shots on Triple G.
You know, I remember getting an update on my phone at about 10:15 at night that they had given Canelo the Triple G the first round. I was like, oh man, that started.
Yeah.
It's only like the third quarter here.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Like, I'm gonna miss the whole thing.
Well, they did do it an hour earlier, and so it was even after that first round though. Triple G was like shaking his head, like he was not happy with how that fight went for that in that first round. But as soon as that third round happened, the tides really started to change, and you know, Triple G was able to land that jab over and over again, and he was patient. You know, so the fifth round though is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
So Triple G just keeps landing jabs. Canelo just shakes it off. Like, I'm sure you've seen kind of video. He just shakes it off. Mm-hmm. And then he lands some shots, and Triple G just starts shaking it off. So going back and forth, like, each showing that machismo, that Razor Ramon machismo.
They got a little bit of a Nick Diaz in him.
A little bit of Nick
Diaz. Did either one lay down on the mat?
Yeah, no one laid down and put the rest on their elbow. No one, you know, flipped off the other person. But in the sixth round, I'm not sure if you saw this. Did you see the headlock with the behind the back punch from Canelo?
Not.
Yeah, so Canelo has Triple G in a headlock right here, and he comes behind the back and tries to punch him in the face, to which Kenny Bayless, he separates them, and you know, Triple G's kind of coy and laughing. He thought that was kind of interesting. Canelo also, you know, it was funny.
If Conor McGregor can throw hammer punches, I can headlock and punch behind the back.
Yeah, so that's obviously not legal. But I mean, the rounds were close, but I really thought that Triple G was way more busier. And Canelo was landing some good shots here and there, mm-hmm. but the overall, the busy fighter who just kept continuing to land jabs and land punches was definitely Triple G. Triple G, he landed almost 50 punches more than Canelo. And, you know, like I said before, it was all in that jab. You know, Canelo landed four more power punches than Triple G, but there were multiple rounds where, you know, where Triple G clearly outpunched him.
Right.
And the refs, like, didn't give him the round.
The judges,
so,
yeah.
The judges.
So, you know, even I got home after the fight, after the game, and we'll get into this when we talk about Pittsburgh.
Sure.
But yeah, I watched a little bit of SportsCenter, and Teddy Atlas was just going off about corruption in boxing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had it.
Well, we've talked about the fact that this was going to be a trilogy, right?
Right.
We thought that, you know, these guys would fight, because that's how you make money.
Yeah.
But you didn't think that, you know, I guess if you're going to give the fight, I didn't see the fight going to Canelo. I saw it 7-5. I saw the first two and the last three to Canelo. Canelo, okay. he knew he needed to get those last three rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that he won those last three rounds, and you could give him the first two. So that's, you know,
that's five.
I give Triple G everything in the middle. Everything in the middle. He was the busier fighter. The Compu Box. The statistics show that he was the busier fighter.
Right, I've seen those, yeah.
So that's what I would say. I could see how you could get a draw. Maybe you give one of those rounds inside. I think it was four or five that maybe you could give to Canelo.
That was my next question. Do you think there's a couple of rounds in there that could have gone either way?
Yeah, but that's not the controversy.
Right. Oh, no.
The controversy...
No one's complaining about the person who scored it for Canelo, like 115, 113, or 114, 113, whatever.
No. There was no to Canelo. That was good, because you have the draw, mm-hmm. you have the Triple G scorecard,
right,
and
right.
then you have the Canelo scorecard.
You're right.
So it's a problem when I'm telling you a judge's name, and you've already heard that name, Adelaide Byrd.
It is a problem.
If a judge is getting, you know, publicity, that's a problem. Adelaide Byrd, she's the wife of the judge of the Maymack fight, Robert Byrd.
Really?
So she scores the fight. Listen to this, Eddie. She scores it 118 to 110. That means that Canelo won 10 rounds and Triple G won 2 rounds.
Wow.
There's rounds that she didn't give to Triple G that he doubled him up on punches. Jabs, power punches, total punches. He clearly was the aggressor. He was striking him down. Canelo didn't really do anything in there. It's ridiculous. 118 to 110, that's just not acceptable, and that's despicable.
You think she was watching the UFC Texas game?
She was definitely, maybe she was watching the prelims of UFC Pittsburgh.
Yeah, maybe she was like peeking down during between plays. She was like looking up at the fight, and then she'd go back down.
So yeah, I could see, you know, if you really want to get to Canelo, maybe you have him win by one,
Right.
But having him win 10 of the 12 rounds, that's insane.
And, you know, she's got a history of controversial decisions. I mean, by the time I got home, ESPN had already dug up this list where she was the only judge who had Amir Khan ahead versus Canelo in 2016. She was the only judge who had Nam Phan as the winner in the tough finale versus Leonard Garcia. The only judge who had Melvin Gallard as the winner in UFC 155 versus Jamie Varner. And then the only judge who had Bernard Hopkins as the winner versus Joe Calzaghe in 2008. Sorry if I mispronounced
that. So she's got a history of doing a bad job.
She does have history. And ESPN pulled this up like so fast. I mean, it did not take long at all.
Well, I think we've known that. And so Bird is actually scheduled to fight, to judge at UFC 216. That's Whoa. October. But the Nevada State Athletic Commission, they're already thinking and considering, you know, maybe we give her, you know, a break. We give her a small break and relieve her from her duties.
I love how, the next day I get an update on my phone again. It says, oh, the Nevada Athletic Commission has just said, you know, sometimes you have a bad day.
Yeah, no, Bob Bennett did say that.
Bad days. She's had bad months.
Yeah, that was not good. And so that's where that kind of the corruptness makes you think.
Okay, take it or leave it. Oscar De La Hoya paid her off. So they will have four fights instead of three.
No, I don't think it's corrupt through like De La Hoya. But I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't get this. Like
the wise guys?
It's just crazy. That is a crazy scorecard, Eddie. 118 to 110. Like she shouldn't be allowed to talk about fights, to judge fights. That's terrible.
It is. And they have, training that judges go through. And then if someone's scores are way off from what they should be, just by the other judges looking at it, you know, they suspend them. They get them out of there. I mean, you don't become a judge if your scores are consistently off.
No, I get it. Triple G walked Canelo down. He cut off the ring, and he walked him down and peppered him with that jab over and over again. Canelo did. He landed some good shots, but not enough to take 10 rounds. So, Eddie, now that we know that this fight ended in a draw,
right?
There's going to be a rematch. There has to be.
Yes.
We don't do draws and not have rematches. So all signs point to Cinco de Mayo weekend, Las Vegas. That's when you typically fight, you know, the fifth, Mexican Independence Day, Cinco de Mayo. Those are big boxing mm-hmm. dates. I'm sure that's when that fight's going to happen.
Yeah, this one should have happened. Yeah. The SEC.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Eddie? Based on this fight, who do you think, I mean, you didn't see the fight, so it's a little tougher to say,
yeah.
But who do you think gets the edge in the rematch?
Based on what happened the first time, right now I would pick Triple G.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a good idea. Also, you know, Canelo being able to be in the ring with him, he can change that strategy a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, Triple G just, like I said, walked him down. Jab, jab, jab. He looked good.
Yeah, Canelo's going to have to change some things to flip this thing around. Or get it another Adelaide Bird.
Yeah, well, that was ridiculous.
But you know who's laughing right now? It's Manny Pacquiao. Because it's like, hey, I know this is funny, guys. Don't forget, I just got screwed, too, in Australia against Jeff Horn. I got a rematch coming, too.
Well, I heard he's actually backed out of the rematch already. So I've heard that he's actually...
old. He
yeah, I heard he's not in that rematch just yet. So,
yeah.
Interesting. Alvarez
it's like,
made...
Yeah, it's not the first time this year.
Alvarez made $5 million. Just like base pay.
Okay.
Triple G makes $3 million.
Wow.
Remember who made 10 times more than that? Boxing? Conor McGregor.
Conor.
All right, so that wasn't the only fight card. So UFC Pittsburgh, like the co-main and the main event happened after this fight ended.
Yeah.
When Triple G Canelo's over, you could flip over to FS1, still watch Mike Perry, still watch Luke Rockhold. Eddie, what did you think about Luke Rockhold's performance?
Luke Rockhold is a really, really good middleweight. He might be the best one out there. But he is too cocky for his own good.
What do you think? Why? What did you see in him that made you think that he was cocky?
Well, the same thing that made him lose his title. He just consistently drops his hands. And, you know, Michael Bisping saw it, came over the top of that left hook. Mr. Left Hook Larry put him down, finished the fight. You know, all because Rockhold is so cocky. He thinks he's so much better than everyone else, and he might be. The problem is he knows it, and he won't stick to his fundamentals. And he really got rocked in the first round by David Branch. And if he hadn't grabbed Branch and put him in a tie clinch, Branch could have finished him up against the cage. But Rockhold did the smart thing and clinched up with Branch, slowed him down so he could get his wits back.
Yeah, I thought he started a little slow. I thought he didn't look that great. It was a 14-month layoff. I thought that Branch was doing the right things in the fight to stay close, so Luke Rockhold couldn't attack with his strikes. He couldn't kick him, and so try to keep him at, try to pressure him in order to stay away from those strikes, which we know are deadly from Luke Rockhold. And then the second round, obviously he looked good, and Branch tapping to strikes, that's never a good look.
It's not a good look, but it's smart. You know, why take the extra brain damage? But Luke Rockhold is so good on the ground, especially, I guess, training with guys like Cormier and, and Kane. It makes you so much better. But he is, his positioning is so good, and he's really good on the ground. He's one of those guys who's not spectacular. You don't think of him in one way. Like, he's not a jiu-jitsu world champion. He's not a Golden Gloves boxer. He's just good everywhere.
Yeah. After the fight, he goes on, and he talks about how George St. Pierre needs to drop out of the fight.
Like, that's going to happen.
I mean, literally giving George no chance in this fight against Bisping.
Yeah. And then
I don't see that.
And then after the fight, he says that Bisping's not the real champ.
Well,
I'm like, listen, it's okay if someone else says that. You can say Robert Whittaker's the best middleweight or the number one middleweight. That's fine. But the guy who knocked you out and took the belt from you, you don't get to say he's not the champ.
That's a good point. So in the co-main event, we had Mike Perry. We thought he was going to be fighting against Thiago Alves. Alves decides that, hey, I'm not going to leave my family after Hurricane Irma.
Right.
Totally cool. I'm not going to go to Pittsburgh and leave them here. I got to do some work. So he fights Alex Reyes. And, I think I saw something online that as soon as someone saw that change, they're like, please let me bet Mike Perry KO.
You think?
And then, Mike Perry, KOs him right inside an early minute.
Mike Perry is a beast. I mean, I want to like him because he's fun to watch.
Sure.
He's just an idiot.
He said a lot of crazy things.
Yeah. And I think he's just more of a doesn't realize how dumb that he is, as opposed to someone with bad intentions.
Well, I mean, he has a tattoo that says platinum over his eye on his face.
Yeah, so
he's getting more face tattoos, which is never a good idea.
He does not plan on having any kind of retirement or job afterwards. But yeah, I want to like him because he's just fun to watch. He's just a beast. He calls out Robbie Lawler after the fight. I was like, first off, I would love to watch that. Secondly, Robbie Lawler would be dumb to take it. But holy crap, would that be fun? Oh, man. Someone's going to sleep.
I'm going to steal a what up with that from a little bit later.
Oh, okay.
Carlos Condit came out today and said that he wants to come back. He tweeted out to Sean Shelby and said, hey, I'd like to fight December, January. How about Mike Perry and Carlos Condit?
Oh, man.
Carlos Condit's coming off two losses, Robbie Lawler and Damian Maia. Mike Perry, not that high up the rankings, probably in the rankings, but not, at the top of the rankings.
Right.
How about a Carlos Condit-Mike Perry fight?
That would be violence personified.
Like, that would be amazing.
It would be. And right now, considering Mike Perry's early loss to, who was it, Ellen Joban?
Yes.
I'd probably pick Condit. But, man, who knows how much Perry has improved? We didn't get to see much this week, So who knows how much he has improved and will improve by then. It'd be a great fight to watch.
All right. So what else, Eddie? What else happened did you think that I didn't know about? Because I turned over to Pittsburgh after the Triple G Canelo fight. Those are the only two fights that I saw.
Lightweight Gregor Gillespie, he's going to be really, really good. He is good everywhere. Kamaru Usman, he has come on strong. He is not someone you want to mess with right now, welterweight. Uriah Hall, another highlight reel knockout. Gilbert Burns, probably the knockout of the night. I mean, just one punch, cold. It was a great fight. I mean, 6 out of 10 fights on the prelims, the main card, were KOs or TKOs. And that's not counting Rockhold and Branch, which would have been a TKO, but Branch tapped to the punches. So, I got home from my friend's place around 12:30, watched a little more Pac-12 football. I didn't start watching UFC Pittsburgh until like 5:30 in the morning. Let me tell you, it's a fun way to start a Saturday morning.
I'm sure.
And then I went and got pancakes.
All right. Well, Eddie, hey, I got some good news right now.
What's that?
We're going to talk right after this in the next segment. Benson Henderson, former UFC lightweight champion, former WEC lightweight champion. Benson Henderson's calling in. We're going to talk about Bellator 183. This Saturday night, he fights Patricky Pitbull. And we're going to talk to him all about it.
Okay, his last name is Fred.
No, they're just going Pitbull now. So
I cannot do that.
All right, guys, you're listening to 104.9 The Horn. This is Fight Night. Joining us now is former UFC and WEC lightweight champion, Benson Henderson. He's fighting this Saturday night as Bellator MMA returns to its home at the SAP Center in San Jose, California, with Bellator 183, Henderson versus Pitbull. Benson, welcome back to Fight Night. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, it has been a little while. We're glad to talk to you again, and we're excited to talk to you again. This is a big week for you. You're only a few days away from your fight against Patricky Pitbull Ferreira. We're just going to stick with Pitbull tonight, but we're excited to have you. How are you feeling?
Good, man. Feeling good. You know, I got this last little bit of weight to get off and to make weight. That's always the battle, the struggle for me is getting down the weight at 155. But after that, it's the fun time, fight night, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, getting down to that 155-pound weight limit, like you just mentioned, that's always a challenge. But Benson, this is your fourth fight with Bellator. So how's your experience been so far? You've been with Bellator now, you know, over a year. How's it been going?
Bellator has been great, man. Bellator has been great. It's been overall a good experience. I wish I had a better showing, a better outing to Bellator. You know, they're paying me a ton of money. So I feel like I owe them, you know, better, more impressive performances. Whether I win or lose, doesn't matter. You just go out there and have a great performance. I think I've given Bellator only one good, not even great, but one good performance so far. And I feel as if I want to give them more and better performances.
Well, great. We want to talk about some of those performances that you've had, and we're also going to definitely talk about your upcoming fight this Saturday night. But for those of us that haven't heard your story, especially here in Austin, Texas, why did you decide you were the UFC lightweight champion? You had fought, you came off a win defeating Jorge Masvidal. Why did you decide to go to Bellator, Benson?
Well, you know, I thought it was best. I took a couple examples, looked around at other sports, and it's not a fair comparison to say, you know, like NFL or NBA moving from one team to another team, because those guys are still in the same league. You know, a guy in the NBA going from the, you know, Miami Heat to Cleveland Cavaliers, he's still in the same league, though. I think it was I took a look at some of the other major sports, like international football, soccer, and see how they do things and how they were moving from one league, you know, say the European league, moving over to, say, Major League Soccer, the MLS. That's actually moving from one league to another league. Same sport, soccer, moving over to a different league. I think I took a look at that and realized, oh, hey, if you do that, you become a free agent, you can, you know, do what's best for your family. You know? And I went that route. Wanted to be a free agent. Out of, you know, three separate offers from the UFC, had two offers from Bellator, had an offer from Road FC, had an offer from ONE FC. So it wasn't like I was just looking at just Bellator and just the UFC. I took a look at a lot of other different organizations. I even went to an organization in Russia. I took a look around at a lot of different offers and decided to go the route that was best for my family.
Well, that's great. And I know you're a new dad, and that's obviously exciting, and you do need to make you know, those best decisions for your family. Bellator, they signed Phil Davis, then they signed you. But since then, you know, they've signed Rory McDonald, Lorenz Larkin and Roy Nelson, who are both fighting this Saturday night. Ryan Bader, Gegard Mousasi. Why do you think that Bellator is becoming such an attractive option for these elite fighters like yourself?
Well, I think it's a couple of different parts of that. You know, there's never one easy answer, but it's, you know, partly how the UFC treats people compared to how Bellator treats people. It's the money. It's the doing what's best for your family. That's a big part of it. Like, you know, some people, you know, they work one job at, you know, this company, and for whatever reason, they're not treated fairly, or they just don't get a good vibe, or their boss just, you know, prefers other people, or this or that. Whatever the reason is, it doesn't matter. But they just don't, you know, they don't like that company as well. So it's always nice to have options of another company to go to. So that's all it is for us. It's on a bigger stage. It's, you know, more out there. It's in the spotlight. But it's just going from one company to the other company. If you go from Allstate to State Farm, you know, it's the same idea. And I think Bellator has a great guy in Scott Coker, and, you know, literally no one has ever said, I haven't ever heard anyone ever say anything bad about Scott Coker. Everyone has only ever said great things. He's a good guy. And he backs up what he says and this and that. And in my experience so far, and, you know, the year and a half or however long, 2 years, whatever it is I've been with Bellator, I legitimately can't say anything about the guy. He has backed up everything people have said about him. He's a good dude. Says what he does. I always tell a story. Bellator took care of my ACL surgery.
Yeah.
Torn ACL, torn MCL, a couple more meniscuses. The whole knee was jacked up. Bellator paid for all of it, took care of everything. They flew me out to San Jose to have surgery. The surgeon was a guy because the NFL doctor called Stidham. He does a bunch of NFL guys, the 49ers, a bunch of major leagues. So he's a world-class great surgeon. And they flew me out here, out to San Jose to do it. They flew my wife out, my kids out. It was right before Christmas. And then I had to stay afterwards a couple of days because surgery didn't go quite as well as planned. There was some sort of, smaller complication. So then the doctor, the surgeon wanted me to stay in San Jose close to him for a little couple of days extra. So it was, I had to spend, Christmas inside a hotel room. Scott Coker, Mike Hogan, some of the VPs of Kerry, some of the VPs of Bellator, they spent their Christmas day having lunch, dinner, early dinner with me away from their families. Just to, spend time with me, make sure, I told them, I don't really care, it's fine, I'm okay. But my wife is spending missing Christmas away from her family. She's not, super thrilled about that and this and that. And, how hard it is to spend Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day away from your family. My wife has never spent any time away from her family. And to spend it with your family inside of a hotel room in a strange city. So just to show, how caring, how thoughtful, how honest, Bellator VPs are. Scott Coker, Mike, their daughters, their wives, they came out and had dinner with me on Christmas Day. And to me, that's a huge deal. That's not talk. That's not, just money. Oh yeah, here you go. Here's some money here. Here's some money there. That's actual time. Time is the one thing you can't get back, right? That's time they spent on the holiday, on Christmas Day, away from their families to spend time with me and mine. That's says a lot to me about the Bellator and about Scott Coker.
Of course, and you hear that about Scott Coker, that it's really kind of this family environment, and so that's great to hear. Benson, you mentioned your ACL. Now, typically, you have been a very active fighter. You fought three times in 2016, three times in 2015, the same in 2014. You mentioned that that the ACL surgery didn't go so well. How's the knee feeling as you're coming back, just 9 months after that surgery?
The knee feels great. The knee feels awesome. I was able to really take the time to do all the tedious rehab that ACL surgeries require. And, really took my time, really gave it its due diligence. Knees at 100%. I was even able to do a jiu-jitsu super match 6 months after surgery. I didn't want my first time, under the bright lights, live competition. I didn't want it to be inside the cage. I wanted to have another, warm-up competition before I step into the cage again. So I had a jiu-jitsu super match with a no-gi world champion 6 months after the surgery, and I was able to really test the knee to really see if I could put it completely, not even in the back of my head, but just put the knee completely out of my head. And I was able to do that. I had a great performance. The knee held up awesome. So I was really, really thrilled about that. I think it really showed that rehab went about as well as it possibly could have.
That's fantastic. You're listening to Benson Henderson on 104.9 The Horn. Benson is fighting Patricky Pitbull this Saturday night as Bellator MMA returns back to the SAP Center in San Jose, California. It's Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, so it's 8 o'clock here in Central Texas. Also on the card, you've got former title challenger Lorenz Larkin versus Paul Daly. Benson Henderson, obviously, we mentioned, fighting Patricky Pitbull, Roy Nelson, Javier Ayala, Aaron Picos fighting again. Now, Benson, I mentioned your opponent, Patricky Pitbull, and you actually fought his brother before, Patricio Ferreira, and you defeated him. I'm sure you know this, but with a win, you'd be the only person to defeat both the Pitbull brothers. Is there any satisfaction that gives you in beating both of them?
Nah, I wouldn't say there's any extra satisfaction in beating both of them. I'd say satisfaction in being my hand raised and winning, period. But no satisfaction in that they're brothers or anything like that.
Okay.
They're both good dudes. After I fought Patricio, his brother came up to me and said, good fight. Go get Chandler. A lot of respect I have for the Pitbull brothers. Good guys. They're fighters. They're a man's man. So I got no respect for any one of those guys. They're good dudes. So will it be cool getting my hand raised and winning? Yes, period. Just getting my hand raised in general is always nice for me.
Do you get anything or do you learn anything from fighting Patricio previously? I mean, is there any tells that you feel that you might have from that previous fight?
I think so. I think because they are pretty similar fighters, I think Patricio is, you know, smaller, a little bit quicker, faster, a little bit more bouncy or on his toes. I think the older brother, I think Patricio is a little bit more, you know, flat-footed, has a little bit more power in his hands for sure, but he's more flat-footed. But they both move pretty similar. I think they both like the same combinations. You know, they have the same coaches for forever, you know, so they both like the same combinations. They both like certain counters to certain moves. You know, they like to counter this by doing that. They counter that by doing this. So they're similar in that aspect also. So I'll say that I think I have not an edge at all, but I have, you know, 15 minutes or 7 minutes, 8 minutes. I have experience of what he moves like, what the combination he likes to throw and how he sits on his punches, whereas he doesn't have that same experience. He doesn't have those 7 minutes, 8 minutes with me.
Patricky is a black belt in jiu-jitsu, yet out of his 17 wins, he only has one submission victory. He's got some highlight reel KOs, but where does a win over Patricky put you in the division?
I think Patricky is a top contender, right?
Yeah.
He fought for the belt not too long ago, so he's a top contender. He's been in for the belt for a long time. I think a impressive win, I hope. You know, who knows? I can't control anything, really. I can control what I can control. I can control myself. I control those 15 minutes inside the cage, but I can't worry about anything else. I don't worry about who I fight next or fighting for a belt or doing this, doing that. All I know is if I win my next fight, good things happen. So I am worried about what I can control. That's 15 minutes inside the cage with Patricky, and then where that puts me at, I can't control that. Obviously, what I hope for a title shot against Brent Primus, absolutely. You know, I'm here. I do what I do because I want to be the best. I'm not here just to fight for the sake of fighting. I actually don't like fighting that much. I think fighting is kind of lame. I love competition. I love competition, but fighting itself is kind of lame. But I'm here to be the best. I'm not fighting to be the best. If I'm up there fighting for belts at that level, then I'm not here to fight just for the sake of fighting. I'm not here just to do it, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So I think that a good, impressive victory against Patricky puts me right there to get a shot against, to the crack against Primus.
Yeah. So obviously you just mentioned you would like to become, your goal is to become the Bellator champion. And you'd be one of the few people, though, that could claim that they've been a three-promotion champion in the UFC, you know, WC, Bellator. I mean, I would have included Strikeforce in there as one of the main promotions. What would it mean to be a kind of a three-promotion champion?
I think it'd be amazing. I think it's, you know, no one's ever done it before. I think it would be a first ever to be a legitimate three legitimate, you know, world organizations, a three-time world champion. No one's ever done that before. You know, I had a shot at it against Andre, had a shot at it against Chandler, and to do something that's never been done before might take more than one time, might take more than two times. It's never been done before for a reason. So it's taking me, you know, three tries, three cracks at it, but the third time's a charm. I'm going to get a shot at another Bellator belt, and when I do get a shot at it, I'm going to run away with it. I will be a three-time world champion, three different organizations, and I just got a whole lot of hard work. I got a whole lot of sweat. I got a whole lot of bruises, sad days, happy days. I got a whole lot of hard work to do before I get there, but I will get there.
Perfect. Benson, the fight is this Saturday night. The ACL is healed. What can fans expect from you in the cage?
I think the fans will be able to expect just more of the same. Going out there and being explosive. I want 15 minutes of sustained explosion. I want to get after it. I just want to be as explosive as possible and hold it up for 15 minutes. I don't think Pitbull will be able to keep that kind of a pace. I think the faster I tend to go, the more tired the other guys tend to get. That always ends up working pretty well for me.
Benson, we wish you the best of luck. We can't wait to watch your fight this Saturday night. Good luck against Pitbull, and hopefully you'll come back and talk to us again.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate your time and everything.
Well, sit on down and tell me what up with that. Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, me said, what up with that? Who knew you?
All right, Eddie. How about that? How about Benson Henderson and that Fedor bobblehead? Have you seen that yet?
I have seen that.
I mean, that looks pretty good. I like the sweater on it.
The only thing I'm disappointed in is you didn't ask if he had a toothpick in his mouth right then.
I wanted to, and I thought about it, but I did not. So.
Odds are he did.
Probably. So, Eddie, first off, SNL's back this week. I know, Ryan Gosling, Jay-Z. No, excuse me. Not this week. Next week.
Oh, don't tease me.
Ryan Gosling, Jay-Z on the 30th.
Texas is off. I could have had SNL as a filler.
Oh, my gosh. That would have been amazing. All right, Eddie.
All right. Now is the time we play a little game we call What's Up With That? Jordan, I'm going to hit you with some news, and you tell the folks out there listening, driving up and down I-35.
All right.
What's up with that?
All right. I'm ready to do that.
This one's pretty short and simple. Ronda Rousey is back in the news. What's up with that?
All right. So Ronda Rousey. So first off, the Mae Young Classic, right?
WWE NXT. Yeah.
Shayna Baszler, she is in the finals. Ronda Rousey's there on SmackDown last week. She's all over the TV.
Yeah, Shayna Baszler, if you don't know, is one of Ronda's best friends.
She is on the finals. You see her backstage, mean mugging. But so yeah, we think that a UFC or a WWE career is imminent, right? But Edmund Tarverdian, he was on the MMA Hour this week, and that's her old coach.
Right.
Head movement, as you know. And he says that he wants one more fight with Ronda. For Ronda, and he'd like her to fight Cyborg.
He wants one more paycheck.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he wants one more paycheck, but he wants one more fight. Cyborg came back.
Is he in trouble with the mob?
I don't know, probably. Cyborg comes back and she says, "Yeah, I'd love to fight Ronda in WWE." So, which is the right place for that?
That is, no, not even gonna get into WWE stuff. I'll let Stu talk about that next.
Yeah, there we go.
Last week, I know it's a bit old news now, but last week we mentioned Jon Jones. His win over Daniel Cormier was a no contest now. But we didn't know what was going to happen with the belt. Tell the folks, catch them up if they don't know.
I saw that. On Facebook, we asked the question.
Yeah.
And then we answered the question.
Literally hours later.
Yeah. So if you want to follow us on we'll give you more up-to-date information on our Facebook or our Twitter.
Yeah, because lots of news happens after our show on Wednesdays.
Happens.
So if you need to stay up
to date. The UFC, no respecter of our show, right?
None.
They don't care when we record. So, yeah, that's right, guys. Daniel Cormier is the new and still, I guess it is,
old
and still
kind of
UFC light heavyweight champion. So, you know, we thought about, hey, what's he going to do next? We're probably guessing a fight against Alexander Gustafsson. We're still waiting to see what happens with Jon Jones. They're going to fight that B sample and that A sample as well. But yeah, Daniel Cormier is now your light heavyweight champion.
And it's such a twisted thing that's going on with this, but man, we'll get into that more at some other time. But the whole light heavyweight division has gone nuts. Okay, now this is more in my realm, but the UFC and the Fox TV contract, their exclusive negotiating period ends in 2 weeks. What's up with that?
Yeah, so this could be the end, Eddie, of seeing UFC on Fox Sports 1, on FX. If you think about like where the UFC was a year ago when they sold. Where they are now, Conor McGregor fighting in boxing, and making a ton of money in boxing. Ronda Rousey probably going to the WWE. Jon Jones may not be back for 4 years.
Wow.
Pay-per-view buys are low. Ratings aren't that high because there's so many shows. I wouldn't be surprised, Eddie, if Fox walks away and they don't. You know, the UFC is looking for $450 million a year. That's a lot of money. That's a big difference from what they got in the last contract.
Well, see,
I don't know if they get it from Fox.
I would be surprised because not only if you look at Fox Sports, this is the only thing that's proprietary to Fox Sports.
That's true. No.
You know, and it takes up a lot of their programming. You wouldn't think so considering how much they trash UFC Tonight and how sometimes they preempt it for darts. But it takes up a lot of FS1 and FS2 programming and even all the other Fox Sports channels down the line. And then the big Fox cards, those sell pretty decently. So Fox doesn't care about the pay-per-views.
Yeah, no, but there's just the UFC is still going to try to get their bread and butter out of pay-per-views,
right.
And they're going to leave scraps for Fox. That's the problem.
But I think they're still doing okay on their ratings.
Okay, well, the last one was the worst viewed one.
Let me say, there's a reason the Ultimate Fighter is still around.
Well,
and how much do we watch that?
Because it costs nothing to make. But Eddie, this week we saw streaming services like Amazon, Hulu. They're winning Emmys. I wouldn't be surprised if you have a company like Amazon come in. And they buy up the rights. A streaming network could easily do that as well.
Well, why would they do that when they have Fight Pass?
Because they can get $450 million for it. So you're right, but they do sell Fight
million
Pass.
Reasons, yeah.
Now, speaking of shows on Fox Sports 1, you mentioned Tough. What's the latest on Tough? What's going on?
Let's see. Last week, a Texan, Montana Stewart, won. So she advanced to the second round.
Okay. How many more weeks do we have of this?
They've got a while to go.
Okay, we got a while to go.
Yeah, but I think Montana Stewart might be the probably the one that WME IMG is drooling over winning.
Okay.
Just because she's really pretty. But the best thing for the UFC would be Roxanne Modafari winning this belt.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And then losing it to Valentina Shevchenko.
Well, it's just that Roxy is so relatable.
Mm-hmm.
She's just interesting. She looks like a librarian, but then, you know, they call her the happy warrior for a reason. But then she goes in and fights, and she's just so good. But she's a great interview. She'll make the rounds on TV everywhere. She'll be great for the UFC.
Okay. Well, let me hit you with some new fights, Eddie.
Do it.
We got Demetrius Johnson versus Ray Borg. It's rebooked for UFC 216.
All right.
We got Glover Teixeira versus Misha Cirkunov at UFC on Fox 26. You've got Anthony Pettis versus Dustin Poirier. That's at UFC Norfolk.
That's going to be good.
Sage Northcutt versus Michael Quinones. Rafaela Sunsal versus Matthew Lopez, both at UFC Norfolk. Heather Hardy is fighting against Christina Williams at Bellator 185. And I'll be honest, this is not an MMA fight, but my most fight that I'm excited for is this Vasyl Lomachenko versus Guillermo Rigondeaux. That's December 9th on ESPN. First time in history, though, two two-time Olympic gold medalists will ever face off in the ring. Lomachenko is dirty.
Let me say, he is fun to watch. And I've gotten past the point where it looks to me like boxers are wearing like those huge clown gloves. I got so used to MMA gloves that boxing gloves look like clown gloves to me.
No, but I'm past it
now. I'm better.
All right. So, but this weekend, Eddie, there are some fights. I believe that, you know, the fight's in Japan for the UFC. Ovince St. Preux was supposed to fight Shogun Hua. He's out. The UFC brings Yushin Okami back in, who's fighting, I think, was it in the PFL?
Yeah, World Series of Fighting, yeah. And don't forget, this week, Bellator and UFC swap dates. So UFC is going to be Friday night. Bellator is going to be Saturday.
Okay.
So don't get it twisted. But in this case,
it's Saturday morning in Japan.
Yeah.
Friday night here.
But in this case, the better fights are still Saturday night because Bellator is a much better card.
Okay, yeah. You got Ovince St. Preux versus Yushin Okami, Claude Gadelha versus Jessica Andrade. Those are Gomi fighting.
Yeah, Gomi and Dong Hun Kim.
Different Dong Hun Kim. That's not stun gun.
I know it's different.
Not stun gun.
But he's not bad.
So, and then, but Bellator 183, not bad. The fact that you've got, you know, like we mentioned before, just talked to him, Benson Henderson fighting Patricky Pitbull. He thinks that, just like he said, he thinks he's going to get, you know, contender for Brent Primus's, you know, lightweight title. That's a chance. Roy Nelson is making his debut.
Yes.
Paul Daly versus Lenz Larkin. That's the fight of the night
right
there.
And that one's not even on the poster, and that's the best fight of the night.
Yeah, that's a good fight. Aaron Pico, who last, you know, he was showcased at that fight in June.
Yeah.
He loses. He's like a highly touted prospect. Have you seen The Flying Cage?
The Flying Cage?
The Flying Cage.
I have not seen The Flying Cage.
So Bellator is going to follow suit of like Elimination Chamber or any WWE pay-per-view where they have the cage above the ring. And they're going to drop the cage down when it's time to have, you know, Bellator fights. And when it's Bellator kickboxing, they're just going to go with the ring. So they've been watching the WWE Network, Bellator Flying Cage.
So the ring will just be a cage that just has the squared off ropes.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Then they won't fall out between the ropes too much.
They will not fall out the ropes. All right. Yeah. But, hey, let's make some picks real quick.
Let's do it.
I think you have the sheet. Why don't you lead us through the sheets?
We're short on time here, so let's get moving here. Where did I put that thing? All right. So we'll start off at the top of the UFC card. OSP, Ovince St. Preux versus Yushin Okami. Jordan, who you got?
Well, let me think. I'm going to go with OSP.
We are in accordance there.
Okay.
Okay, next up, one of my favorites, Claudia Gadelha against Jessica Andrade.
Gadelha, of course.
Same here, even though Andrade is nothing to be messed with. Ben Henderson versus Patricky Pitbull.
Benson.
Yeah, same here. Paul Daly versus Lorenz Larkin.
Lorenz Larkin.
Man, stop following me. Okay, TCU versus Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Okay, Mississippi State versus Georgia.
Georgia.
Okay, we've got one difference.
There we go. We know we're going to have a different one.
Mississippi State versus
Georgia. All right,
guys.
Have a good night. Check out Stu next. We will be back next week.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.